the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Please be still. Please, everybody be still. Give me your attention for just a few minutes this morning. I'm bringing a message from the Word of God. I stayed home yesterday and prayed and studied and prayed and studied and tried to pray. And this is what I feel like the Lord would give me for you today. 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. The Bible talks about this woman here who prayed for a child. And got a child. And I want you to notice what she said here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. For this child I prayed. For this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Now, all you mothers is up here a minute ago, if you can say that right there, you've been a success as a mother. For this child, I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition that I ask of him. I want to preach this morning on the subject, a real mother's prayer. A real mother's prayer. Now I'm going to talk about how you as a mother should and can pray for your children. Can't do anything any greater than raise them kids to love God and to know God, the real God. If you grew up out in the country, some of you did, when it came time for supper, you might have been out on the farm somewhere feeding pigs or horses, chasing chickens, climbing over fence. You might have had your knees in the mud, had dirt all over you, in the barn loft playing. But sometime about that time, somebody calls and says, supper time, and mom's got supper on the table. You see, back in them days, you come to the table at supper time or you didn't get nothing to eat. They wasn't everybody coming in at their own time going to the refrigerator. By the time supper was over, there wasn't nothing. My daddy was raised in the country, and they didn't even have that. He said he was 19 years old before he knew a chicken had anything but feet. That's all they ever got. That's all the part he ever seen of a chicken was its feet. And when Mama called, it's supper time. We're at the table. When everybody gathered around the kitchen table, Mom would say, "Are all the children in?" And she meant little brother, little sister. There might be 8 or 9 or 10 of them. Like there was in Miss Millie's family she was telling us about. Daddy had 8 kids. Mama died. Married a younger lady. They had 8. Made a total of 15. Lost one. And Mama would say, "Is all the children in?" And at nighttime or bedtime, sort of like the Waltons or something, they'd all go from room to room to room. Again, Mama would say, "Are all the children in? All of them in? We ain't got none of them out there playing in the barn, do we? We ain't got none of them out there fooling around in the yard, down the field, pasture somewhere, have we? Are all the children in?" They always ask that question. And mothers naturally worry about their kids. Many have called me late at night saying, "My boy's in trouble. I can't find my boy. He's run away. My daughter is out in sin. What am I going to do, preacher?" It's a natural thing for a mother to worry about her kids. Many a man has been saved and is in heaven today because Mama prayed for him and would not let that child go to hell. I mean, just refused to let the devil have a child. Now, just like Mama said at the supper table, "Are all the children in?" And just like Mama said at nighttime, "Are all the children in?" Then every mother here today, talking about salvations, that say, "Is all my children in? Are they all in? Are they all saved?" And when we get to heaven one day, I can imagine mothers saying, "Are all my children here? Are all my children here?" You heard Miss Millie's testimony in Sunday school. They had 15 kids in their family, and every one of them was saved. All the children are in. And her mother in heaven this morning can look back and say, "Thank God, all of my children." Ladies, I can't stress to you too much The most important thing you can do is raise your kids to love Jesus Christ and get them out of here and take them to heaven one of these days. The most important thing in the world is not your career, and it is not money, and it is not a better house or a nicer car. There's nothing wrong with those things, but I'm telling you, the most important thing in the world is get your kids to Jesus Christ and get them to heaven with you one of these days. And if you've done that as a mother, you're a success. And if you've not, you'll be a failure. Are all the children in? Thomas Edison said this about his mother. He said, she believed in me at a critical time. John Quincy Adams said this, all that I am, I owe to my mother. You know, D.L. Moody, the great preacher, said this, everything that I've accomplished in life, I owe to my mother. G. Campbell Morgan, the great preacher, said, my sermons were Bible stories that I learned from my mother. You've heard the story. The old saying, behind every good man, there's a good woman. And that's true. Ladies and gentlemen, a mother's prayers makes the difference. Now, I want to talk first of all about a real mother. The sweetest word on earth beside Jesus is mother. A real mother, there's nothing greater in this world. If you were blessed with a good godly mother, you've got something to shout about every day of your life. Nothing greater than a mother who will bear children and rear them for God. Like a rose bush that blooms, mothers steer their children. Now, you should have heard of Susanna Wesley. And Susanna Wesley was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, among 17 other kids too. 19 children. And Susanna Wesley has gone down in history of being one of the world's greatest mothers ever. John Wesley turned out to be a preacher. He began the Methodist Church. And Charles Wesley, his brother, wrote some of the greatest hymns in your hymn book. And they said that, humanly speaking, John and Charles Wesley saved England from a revolution. In other words, God used them two men to save an entire nation of England from a revolution. And it all started with Susanna Wesley, their mother. Would you like for me to tell you, ladies, how come Susanna Wesley was such a successful mother? All you mothers that's up here a minute ago, listen to me. Here's what Susanna Wesley did. She had 19 children, of which John and Charles were two of them. You know what she done? She took each child 1 hour per week alone and gave it religious instruction. That would be 16 or 17, depending on how old they are, 15 hours a week. She would take one child into a bedroom, sit down, and teach it the Bible one-on-one, pray with it, and teach them the Bible 1 hour a week. Now, you only got two kids or three kids or one. You've got it made. She had 17, 19 total, and about 15 at raising age all the time. Each one of those children, today it's your day, John, go in here, study the Bible. I'm talking about the Lord. Jesus loves you, honey. Jesus wants you to live for Him. God loves you, and Christ died for you. You see, Susanna Wesley didn't watch soap operas all day during the week. She put her heart and life into those kids. Susanna Wesley was not a desperate housewife, thank God. She was a woman who loved God and said, I'm going to put the power of God into my kids. And all God's people said, come on now, folks. I'm going to tell you something, brother. People had a different set of values in those days. You say, well, I just don't have time, preacher. I can't even get them to Sunday school. I can't even get them up. They'll ride the bus if they want to come. Listen, that lady gave each one of them 1 hour of Bible each week. And she'd take and pour her soul out in front of those children. You know what she did? Here's Susanna Wesley's rules around her house. Here's the way she raised her kids. Number one, she said, you never give a child something it cries for. You know what you're doing? If you give a child everything it cries for, you know what you're teaching it to do? Cry for everything it wants. You say, I don't know why the little brat screams. You are teaching it, that's how to get it. You don't give them. You say, until you quit crying, you ain't going to get nothing. And you train them that way. Some of you ladies have created your own hell on earth by letting your kids just absolutely run over you and everybody else. And you're going, I don't know if you can reverse it now or not. But she never gave them anything they cried for. She said they must eat everything on their plate. at supper time. They didn't say, here, honey, try this. And here, honey, try this. And here, honey, try this. Oh, well, I'll give you a candy bar. That ain't the way she did it. She said they must eat what's on their plate. You say, that's mean. She must have done something right. She said there was no eating between meals. There was never any screaming allowed in her house. And they said that if you visited her house, you very seldom heard any loud screaming or anything like that. I mean, brother, she ruled that thing with a rod of iron. And she, God blessed her, and she was honored by God in what she done. Susanna Wesley, what a great mother. They said this one woman, they said every day she'd take one of her kids, and she would take this kid, and she would just pour out her soul to God for that child. Has your children ever heard you pouring out your soul? Has your child ever come in the room and heard you saying, oh God, please protect my child, Lord, don't let them get in trouble. Please, God, save them, Lord, please. Well, mothers, let's get on the ball. Let's learn how to be a godly mother. You know what I found out one time? I was in Hickory, and I was giving out tracts down on the street in Hickory. And I went up to this old guy and gave him a tract. He was about 70 years old. And he turned around and looked at me, and you could tell he was an alcoholic. You could just tell. His neck was real red. His eyes bloodshot. And the poor old guy, you could tell. I mean, he was just a drunk on the street. And my heart just broke for him. I'm telling you, I thought, and I think his name was Bill or something like that. I said, hey, doing Bill, let me give you something to read here. I began to talk to him there for a minute. And he looked up at me, and he took that tract, and big old tears started coming down his cheek like this. And he said, you know what? He said, my mama is a Christian. He said, my mama, it loves God. My mama loves the Bible. My mama loves, and he told me this story. He said, you know what, preacher? He said, it wasn't too long ago. I went up to Michigan. Me and these guys were going up there to get some cars, bring them back down here and sell them. And he said, I went up there with these old boys, and we was all about half drunk. And he said they all got in this car that he was going to take back to North Carolina. And he said, right when I was getting ready to get in that car, he said, something spoke to me and said, don't get in that car. And he said, I backed up for a minute and thought, what was that? And they was all saying, come on, Bill, let's go. He said, I bent down to get over that. And he said, bent down to get in. He said, I started to get in. And he said, a voice said, don't get in that car. He said, I backed off and said, what in the world? He said, I ain't riding with you boys. I'm riding these other guys. Oh, come on, man. We're going to have fun. He said, I went over here and got in the car with the other guys. He said, we all took off down the road. He said, in a few miles, them guys crossed the road, hit a tree, and killed every single one of them. He said, they all got killed, preacher. He said, they all died right there. And he looked at me like that. And I said, Bill, you know what that was, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, that was your mama, your godly mama, back home praying for you and getting hold of God saying, take care of my boy. You say, I don't believe in stuff like that. Ladies and gentlemen, history is full of stories like that where mama prayed, mama prayed, mama prayed. Hey, girls, hey, all you ladies up here a while ago, you can't do anything any greater than learn how to get a hold of God Almighty and protect your child in this world. There's predators out there. There's child molesters out there. The world out there, the flesh, the drug dealers, they're waiting on your children. Learn how to get in that prayer closet and get a hold of God and say, I'm not going to let the world have my child. Learn how to pray as a mama. You've heard me tell that story many times about in the army that is over there, and they're taking this little island, our boys taking it back for the United States of America. And they took this island, and they run over there, and the commander officer said, he said, somebody needs to put up the flag. He said, we need to run the American flag up the pole there. And there was still enemy around there, and they were shooting bullets and stuff. And everybody said, I ain't doing that, and ain't no way, ain't no way. He said, is anybody willing to go put up the American flag? And one old boy that was from Arkansas, old country boy, that was raised in church all his life, he said, I'll go take it, sir. He said, I volunteer to put up the flag. And they said, okay. He got the flag like this. He said, you give me 20 minutes. And he looked at his watch, and he waited 20 minutes. And that 20 minutes went by, and they all sat there, and they all looked at him and said, all right, here I go. He took off running with that flag, and everybody said, oh, man, I can't stand to see this. He's going to get his head blowed off. They said, I don't want to look. There was bullets flying all around him. He shimmied up that flagpole, got up there, bullets going on both sides of it, hung that flag, come right down, come back to the cheers of the men. They stood up, and they said, man, you're the bravest guy I ever seen. I can't believe you did that. Wow. And they stopped him and said, There's just one question we want to know. What's up with that 20-minute stuff? Why did you have to wait 20 minutes? He said, well, he said, you boys, you might not understand this, but he said, I got a mama in Arkansas that knows God. And he said, my mama promised me that at 4 o'clock every day, she'd be on her knees praying for me. And he said, I noticed that it was about 4 o'clock Arkansas time. And he said, I know nothing couldn't happen to me with my mama praying for me. Woo! Hallelujah. God give us some mothers like that. God give us some mothers that know God. Listen, your boys and girls, they ought to be afraid to go against what you say, because they know mama knows God and mama get a hold of God. And I'm afraid to go against mama because mama prays for me. Amen. That's what a real mother is. Amen. That's right, brother. I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, old Governor Brewer was governor of one of our states, and they asked his mother when he got to be the governor. They said, "Ain't you proud of him?" Said, "Aren't you proud of your boy for becoming governor?" And she said, "I am, but no more than I was when he joined the church." And they couldn't believe that a woman said, "I was just as proud or more of my boy joining the church than I was being the governor of the state." That's a blessing, isn't it? That's a real mother had her priorities right. Praise the Lord. That's right, brother. The real mother. Listen, they said that our world is indebted to that Wesley family I talked to you about a while ago more than maybe any other family since Abraham. Think about the influence that her kids had on mother. They said years ago, this mother got under a burden. She had three boys, and one of them was saved, and she had two littler boys, about this high and about this high. And she went to her pastor, and she said, "Pastor, I don't know why my kids are not saved." She said, "They act interested in church." She said, "They like to go to church." She said, "But I've never seen them cry. I've never seen them act like it really touched their heart." She said, "I don't know what's wrong with them." "What up?" And he looked at her and he said, "Can you stand a little plain talk? Is it all right if I talk plain?" She said, "Yeah, go ahead and tell me what you think." And he said, "Your kids' eyes are dry because your eyes are dry." He said, "Your kids don't take it serious because you don't." He said, "How long has it been since you stayed up and prayed all night for your boys?" She said, "I've never done that." He said, "How long has it been since you poured out your heart to your boys?" She said, "I've never done that." She said, "You're right, preacher. I need to get where I need to be with God." And she stayed up that whole night. She walked the floor with her Bible. She said, "God, get a hold of my boys. God, get a hold of my boys. God, please, I don't want my boys to go to hell. I don't want my boys to grow up not knowing you. I don't want my boys to know up not knowing the true God and old-time religion and being saved by the grace of God. I don't want that. I don't want that. God," and did it all night long. The next morning at the breakfast table, they passed the biscuits and passed. She said, "I'm not eating. I can't eat till I know God's got a hold of my boys." And buddy, her boys heard that and they saw that. And both of those boys were saved in just a few hours. They saw their mama get serious. They saw their mama get down to business. Listen, you ladies here this morning, you know what the best thing you can do? You get serious with God. Let them know. Let them hear you praying. Let them walk in your bedroom and hear you praying and see. Don't say, "All right, you go to church and then you go to a party somewhere or some fool, stupid place of the world where you have no business being." Your kids ain't going to get serious with God if they don't see it in you once in a while. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, in other words, some of you mamas need to grow up a little bit. You're not a teenager anymore. It's time to grow up, take responsibility, and be a woman of God and influence your kids. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Listen, her prayer. What about a real mother's prayer? You can help your mother's prayers be answered today by being saved and living for God. I heard about one man who was a preacher. Charles Spurgeon's daddy's who it was. And he preached all over the country, and he started getting worried about his kids. And he said he really got worried about his kids, and he told somebody, he said, "I'm thinking about cutting my schedule back." He said, "I'm thinking about cutting back on my preaching schedule and stuff so that I can be more my kids." He said, "My kids, I don't want to lose my kids." And so he went home, he's going to talk to his wife about it, and he's going up the steps, and he heard his wife in there praying. And she's saying, "Oh, Lord, please don't." Lord. And naming them kids, one right after another. And he turned around and said, "My kids are in good hands." And he kept up his schedule and kept going to pray. He knew them kids couldn't go to hell with that woman in there begging God to get a hold of him. See, ladies, your role model is not supposed to be Joy Behar or whatever her name is. Your role model is not Paris Hilton, girls. I mean, you couldn't get no worse. You know, I don't want to be tied down with these little snotty-nosed brats. I want to go to the gym and I want to work out and I want to be beautiful so all the men will love me. You need to get your heart right with God. That's what you need to do. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You got a child. You got a baby to raise for God. You're going to answer to God for it one of these days. You better learn how to pray. Is all the children in? President McKinley, our president, years ago, they said he was off somewhere in the country and his mom was bad off. But he's out doing his job. And I remember doing that the night my mother died and went home to be with the Lord. I preached down here in Mooresville. And I had to preach second that night. And I put my phone in the pastor's office. And I was going to run back there and check it to see if my sister had called me. Because she said, "Danny, she can't make it probably another day through the night." And we'd stayed with her all that week. And she's just so weak. She hadn't eaten anything in days. I mean, just give up. And I run back there and grab my phone when I got through preaching. And I look, and there hadn't been no calls on it. And I said, "Thank God she's all right. Thank God." So they said, "We're all going to eat pizza." And I took my car because I figured that I might not get to go eat with everybody. And I went to the pizza place, and my sister called. And she said, "Danny, you better come on. She's really gasping." So I took my car and took off up the road. Didn't go eat. And I was between Statesville and Hickory. My sister called and said she's gone. And President McKinley was off doing his duties, whatever his president. He had to keep up his schedule. And he is off, and he got a message saying, "Your mother is dying." And back then they sent work messages by telegraph. You know, they didn't have all the phones and stuff like we got now, self cordless phones and stuff. He sent a telegraph, and he said, "Tell Mother I'll be there." And some reporter picked up on that, and it got put in newspapers all across the United States, "Tell Mother I'll be there." And it headlines, "Tell Mother I'll be there." And President McKinley left his post of duty and went to be with his dying mother. And a song leader that went on tour, Crusades with R.A. Torrey, the great evangelist, picked up those words and wrote a song. He picked up that little phrase, "Tell Mother I'll be there." And he wrote a song. It became a famous song. And they sung it all over the world. And that's the name of it, "Tell Mother I'll be there." And every time he'd preach, they would give an invitation and say, "Tell Mother I'll be there." And he transferred that on to heaven. And I'm telling you this morning, I would say the same thing if Savior, the Lord, if you could tell Mom this morning, tell her I'll be there. Tell her I'll be there. And the song went like this. "When I was just a little lad, how well I recollect how I grieved my dear mother with my folly and neglect. But now she's gone to heaven and I miss her tender care. Oh Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Tell Mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell Mother I'll be there, heaven's joy with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there." What's the greatest thing you could tell your mother this morning? When we dismiss this church service, the greatest thing you could tell your mother today would be to look at her and hug her neck and say, Mother, I'll be there. I'll be there. Glory to God. We may not have the nicest of houses and cars and clothes. We may not be known as far as this world goes. But bless the Lord, Mama, I'll be there. If you can tell your mother that this morning, you can make her the happiest mother on earth. If you're here this morning and you can't say that. I heard about this one woman prayed 60 years for her child. 60 years for her boy. Brother, she died. And that old boy got saved. One woman prayed for years and years and years. It's a true story. Prayed for years that God would save her son and call him to preach. And that boy's mean as a devil. He went out and got into all kinds of trouble. And he got locked up in prison. And she kept praying, God's going to save him and call him to preach. God's going to save him and call him to preach. God's going to save him. They said, you crazy woman, that boy's in prison. He's a loser. She kept praying and kept praying. And you know what? She got a phone call one day from the prison that he'd been killed. And then she said, no, that can't be. God said he's going to save him and call him to preach. That can't be. And brother, they said, no, I'm sorry, your boy's dead. And lo and behold, they got the information wrong, and he wasn't dead. And God did save him and did call that boy to preach. You know why? A real mother's prayers. A real mother's prayers. Ladies, learn how to get a hold of God. Learn how to. You say, I'm too busy. If you're too busy for this, you need to cut out something somewhere. Maybe you need to cut out the nose book. Maybe you need to cut out some of that time on your computer. I'm just saying, get time to get right with God. Pray. I've been trying to pray more and pray more. And listen, this the most important thing we can do as Christians is pray and get a hold of God for our boys. Listen, kid, people, we're raising kids in a hostile world. It'll eat them up and spit them out, chew them up, leave them on the side of the road. This world don't care about our kids. We give us some godly mothers who will learn how to pray. It's a disgrace now. Little girl comes in and mama's wanting to dress and dance and act like a stupid teenager. That's pitiful. Grow up a little bit. Take your responsibility as a grown woman and say, God, I'll try to do what's best, and I'm going to have a real mother's prayer. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, can you tell your mother you'll be there? I hope so. I'm not everything I should be this morning. I've been a sorry Christian. I'll tell you one thing, brother. I can tell my darling mother that I'll be there. In answer to her prayer, yes, tell my mother I'll be there. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.